weekendbreakfast for all those details. But now it's time for Final Draft.
Good morning. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and I am your host, Andrew Popel. Final Draft is books, writing, and literary culture straight to your radio every Saturday morning. And it's almost upon us. That's right. Book Lovers Christmas, also known as the Sydney Writers Festival, is only 10 days away. It's that special week every year where authors from around Australia and around the world are going to descend on Sydney, and we're going to share the love of books and discussion with everyone, getting down to Walsh Bay, but also the greater Sydney area. And in the lead up, we're going to be letting you know what's happening at the festival and sharing some of those authors with you. To that end, today I'm going to be speaking with Hugh Mackay. Hugh Mackay is a social researcher, he's a writer, he is incredibly prolific, and his latest novel is a satirical look at the advertising industry. It's called Selling the Dream, and if it wasn't so funny, it would be scary. So I'm really excited to be bringing that conversation with Hugh Mackay. Later on in the show, I'm going to be speaking with Claire Sawyer. She is the Kids and YA Programming Director for Sydney Writers Festival, and she's going to be sharing what to expect, because Writers Festival isn't just about adult book lovers. It is for everyone. The kids are going to be taking over Walsh Bay on the Sunday, and then all day YA out at Parramatta on the Saturday of the Writers Festival. It's so exciting. Stay tuned to hear exactly what you can expect. It is our lead up to Sydney Writers Festival. 2SER is going to be bringing you programming across the dial, but Final Draft is the best place to get all the inside goss. My name's Andrew Popel. Stay tuned. All the books you could possibly want and more are coming up after just this short break.
I guess I'll have to change my plan.
On May 27, you may well have to change your plans if you don't want to miss the 2SER Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon. 2SER's celebration of all things Bob will go for 8 hours and feature news, reviews, interviews, the Bob Dylan quiz, and all the Bob songs that fit, starting at 8 p.m. and going through till 4 in the morning. The Bob Dylan Birthday Marathon on 2SER, May 27, from 8 p.m. 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music, and Bob.
It's a hard rain's are gonna fall.
You are tuned into 2SER 107.3 and you're listening to Final Draft. My name is Andrew Popel and I'm joined on the phone from Canberra by Hugh Mackay. Hugh is a psychologist and social researcher, a prolific writer on how we navigate and negotiate our world. He's got a new novel out, and it might scare you or perhaps awaken you to the ways in which we are sold things. Selling the Dream takes us into the bowels of the advertising industry and the agency KK&C, which has landed the contract for The Ripper, an obtuse curry-based snack, vomit-inducing, bedecked in bright orange and containing poison. We follow Link the Hunter, who views The Ripper campaign as his platform to new heights in the business. No matter the impact on those around him, Hugh, I loved this story. Thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Great pleasure, Andrew. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope it gave you a few laughs as well as disturbing you.
Yeah, I laughed throughout the book, and then I just looked at my world a little bit differently. But I wonder, with Link as its vanguard, the advertising industry sounds a little bit like a David Attenborough doco on predators. What drew you to the industry as a setting for a novel?
Well, I have to confess, my father worked in advertising. He was a copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
And for 8 years, I ran a research company that was actually owned by an advertising agency. So I saw the agency business up close. And when I established my own research business, many of my clients were involved in the advertising business. Indeed, many of my friends are. So I know the business very well, and I've studied the process of mass communication as part of my own training. So it's all very familiar to me. And, of course, this is a satirical novel. I mean, I've obviously exaggerated for the purposes of the satire, but the underlying point, I think, is valid, which is that it's very easy to get so obsessed with trivial things that we lose sight of larger issues.
Now, a common refrain in the novel comes from Bob Kelman. He's an aging partner in KK&C, And he reflects on the changes in the industry over the years. Now, shows like Mad Men have given us one perspective on advertising. And with the dawn of online connectivity, advertising is ubiquitous. Whether we know it or not, we're being sold to. Mm. Has the industry really changed from your perspective? And is any of that change for the better?
It's certainly changed, Andrew. I think the advent of social media and the huge proliferation of opportunities for advertisers to get their message across has wrought a huge change in the industry. The other big change in the industry, which actually referred to in the book, was when the industry really shifted from advertising agencies just being paid a commission on from the media on advertising that was placed towards the current system, which is that they're paid by their clients. They're paid fees for the service they provide, and they don't receive media commissions as they used to. And that's made the business much less profitable, but also much more accountable. And that's a good change.
Now, Link the Hunter, he's your central character, something
I
of a...
I think we can call him an anti-hero.
He's something of a wunderkind in the advertising. He's bizarrely attractive to all those around him. Through your characterization, we learn that he's peculiarly incomplete as an individual, though, going so far as to add "the" to his name to sell his brand better. Could a Link actually exist out there in the world? Am I just being naive asking that?
No, I've never met one. He's an exaggeration of many people I have met, Link is a one-off. But there is something in what you just said, Andrew, that I think is very important, which is he is one of those charismatic individuals who gets by with great charm. I think all of us need to know that if someone is being charming, we need to be alert. But he's very charming, very charismatic. One of the characters in the book describes him as a force of nature. When he enters a room, everyone takes notice, and he tends to dominate meetings and to be extremely good at what he does. But he is, as you say, a very incomplete, rather lopsided personality. He has almost no idea how to manage intimate personal relationships. At one point he says that his love of business distracts him from the business of love.
You are tuned in to Final Draft. My name's Andrew Popel, and I'm speaking with Hugh Mackay. We're talking about his new book, Selling the Dream. Now, for me, a telling conversation occurs around the middle of the novel. We have Bob, Marcus, and John. I'm sure I pronounce it John, just because another one. He's changed the letters in his name to better sell his brand. They're the founding partners of KKNC. They're discussing their future and are reminded by John of why they began the agency. They to and fro about creative independence, art, and philosophical bravery, until John reminds them that the real reason it was just simply they were creating KKNC as a product that they could sell. Is advertising always ultimately this cynical?
Not always, and not everyone. But there are certainly plenty of small agencies that are created in the hope that they will be bought by big agencies. And the partners will then make a lot of money. I mean, that's probably less true now than it used to be. But certainly there was a period, particularly in the period when large multinational advertising agencies started showing an interest in Australia, where plenty of small agencies' eyes lit up as they saw their real potential was to make themselves saleable to one of these big international groups. Now that process has pretty much happened. There are still plenty of small agencies that are being started today, but probably not to the same extent now with the idea of being sold. But yeah, that level of cynicism is very easy to... If you're working in a business where you're trying to convince yourself that it's important, even though you doubt whether it's important a lot of the time, it is very easy to become cynical. Of course, the counterpoint to all this is there are many people who've worked in advertising who have great integrity, have done a very good job, have taken their work seriously, haven't got it out of proportion. And of course, in the creative side of the business, many people have gone on to be creative artists, you know, like painters and writers and so on. It's amazing how many novelists, when you read their CV, you find that they had a stint at some point working in an advertising agency.
We found something redeeming. But I wonder, though, knowing that this cynicism exists and perhaps is not transparent to us, does the regular punter need to adopt some sort of compensatory cynicism as an antidote? Do we need some sort of detector so that when we are being sold to, we're savvy?
Yes, we do. And the good news is I think most of us have it. From a very early age, I think we learn to compare what we're being told, not just in advertising, but in political propaganda or any other persuasive material. We learn to compare that with our experience of the real world, and if it doesn't match up, what are we going to believe? Obviously, we're going to believe the real world. We're going to be more interested in the example of our parents or the behavior of our friends, the recommendations of people who've had experience that we haven't had. All of these things carry more weight than advertising. It's very interesting that the critics of advertising generally attribute greater weight, greater effectiveness to advertising than is true. And the greatest advocates, the greatest defenders of advertising often claim more for it than is true. The main job that advertising, two main jobs that advertising does very legitimately are one, to announce the existence of new products that we didn't know about. And the second, more emotional effect is to strongly reinforce our commitment to the brands that we're using. I mean, the primary audience for any advertisement is the people who are already using the product being advertised. So it's that sort of preaching to the converted role, protecting the territory that they've got, that is really the main function of advertising, which means we can probably relax a bit about it because it's not mostly trying to change us, it's mostly trying to get us not to change.
You are tuned in to Final Draft. My name's Andrew Popel and I'm speaking with Hugh Mackay. Hugh, I very much appreciate you coming on Final Draft and sharing your wealth of knowledge, your insights, and also the humour of selling the dream.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I've enjoyed the conversation.
You are on 2SER 107.3. The show is Final Draft, and I'm your host, Andrew Popel. I'm going to take a track right now. Before I come back, I'm going to be speaking with Claire Sawyer. She's the Kids and YA Programming Director at Sydney Writers Festival, and we're going to be discovering a little bit about what you can expect from kids and YA authors across the festival. But right now, this track is from Rhys O'Neill. It's called The Fire In You. We'll be right back.
I see that you've grown. It's a fear to you through the cities that you do wrong. The spirit burns in you. The ecopy I sit for the virus you sound. I feel the color of the truth. Mutual stresses before the song. I'm just glad you're home.
Sydney Film Festival is now on sale. There's over 350 screenings of 288 films from 62 countries over 12 days in 10 venues. From the magnificent State Theatre in the city to the Ritz Cinema in Randwick, there's bound to be a film and a venue just right for you. It all happens from June 7 to 18. You can buy your flexi passes or single tickets right now at sff.org.au. Sydney Film Festival, proudly sponsoring 2SER 107.3.
Good morning. You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft, and it's a very, very short wait before Sydney Writers Festival starts. And right now, I'm joined on the line from Sydney Writers Festival HQ by Claire Sawyer. She is the head of programming for children's and YA at the festival. This year, it's a huge job with more events happening across the city, I think, than ever before. Thank you for joining me, Claire. What is the buzz like at Sydney Writers Festival now that the big week is so close?
Oh, we're all super excited here because obviously we've sent out all the schedules. We know that all these fantastic international authors are coming in, and we're going to be joined by some fabulous Australian authors. So Andy Griffith is coming. We've got Lauren Child, who did Charlie and Lola and Clara Spean, and also Ruby Redford. She's coming from the UK, and she hasn't been in Australia for about 12 years. So we're absolutely thrilled and excited with the program that we're putting together.
Amazing. And so this year, it's children's and YA are a bit split up. Sunday the 28th, it sees a whole pier down at Walsh Bay turned over to the Children's Festival. When you're developing a children's program for the festival, what are you looking for in the activities and events?
Look, I really do think about age groups. I think about the fact that children are different audiences as well. So I know that some things are going to appeal to younger children, and other concepts and ideas will appeal to the older children. So that's one of the elements I think of. So say, for example, I've got Nick Earls is doing the Word Hunters Exploration, and that's going to be for an older age group where he's going to be talking to children about how you can track some common words back to their origin. And then I also have some other concepts for the younger children. Like, say, for example, we have an amazing duo of writer and illustrator. So Davina Bell and Alison Coldpoise are going to talk smaller children through their process of how they wrote a book called Under the Love Umbrella. And it's a picture book, and they're going to talk about how they make a picture book. So I am really thinking about the diversity of audience that's going to be coming. And I'm also thinking about having as much fun as we can on the day.
I would, even as an adult, I would absolutely eat something like that Word Hunters session up. I love that sort of thing. Of course, it's always huge fun. There's always maybe some characters running around, like the Gruffalo. Are there going to be any appearances like that at the festival this year?
Do you know there are? There are going to be quite a few this year. We've got Maisie, Grug, Where's Wally? You can actually have a little search for Where's Wally in the space as well. So I think kids will be able to get some great selfies with those characters.
Oh, wow. I mean, he could have been there for the last 5 years. I could never find him. but this year, the festival program for younger readers, it's expanded. It's burst the confines of the Walsh Bay precinct. What do lovers of YA have in store for them?
Well, this is actually probably one of the most exciting expansions that the Sydney Writers Festival has done. As I said, it is about audiences, and the family audience is not necessarily the young adult audience. And there are a lot of very passionate young adult readers in Australia. And I put together a program which is across the Parramatta Riverside venue. And we actually have two theatres running simultaneously with five programs in each of those. And with that, we've brought in some terrific international authors. So, say, for example, Rupi Kaur is going to be there. We also have Mariko Tamaki, who's a graphic novelist, and she comes direct from Canada. And then we've also got Sarah Crossan, who's an Irish author who wrote a beautiful book called One about conjoined twins, but she wrote it in verse. So she's kind of an amazing person to hear from, as well as Jennifer Niven. And Jennifer Niven wrote Holding Up the Universe, and she's a US writer. Her books are being made into movies. So this is the first time the YA audiences will get to meet some of those stellar people. And then we also have terrific local writers. Amy Kaufman, who wrote Gemina and Illumini with her writing partner Jay Christoph, is coming. We also have Garth Nix, and Garth Nix would be well known to a lot of YA authors for his Sabriel and Clariel and Of Horse and series. And he's going to be talking with a whole lot of other authors like James Bradley and Lynette Noni, just about how you create characters across a series.
That sounds fantastic. I mean, Garth Nix's latest is Frog Kisser, a bit of a twisted fairy tale. I know James was on Final Draft only a few short weeks ago, so this is an amazing lineup. Claire, I love telling the story about being at the festival. It was a few years ago, and I was listening to a talk upstairs at Piers 4-5, and hearing the roar from the crowd below at the children's events. What do these young readers mean to the festival? And more generally, what do they mean to us, I guess, even as a country, with their enthusiasm for reading?
Look, I think, I mean, certainly, I'm sure probably one of the stories you were telling was about Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith famously...
You got me.
came to the festival a few years ago, and he was signing books for, I think, 4 hours. Like, he was just so popular. And he, again, is going to be at the Writers' Festival this year, and we're delighted that he is coming back to be with us at the RPT event in a session called Are You Ready to Roll? So that'll be great. But I think young people are the future of this industry. You know, we need to build our audiences, and I would like to give young children the opportunity to have a Sydney Writers' Festival experience. So that means having that contact with authors that they love and getting the chance to actually ask the authors that they really appreciate and that they adore the questions about how what their process is, how they wrote a particular character, how they invent their stories. And also the other thing is illustrators are a really big part of our industry. I have a big emphasis in the program on illustration as well as writing and reading. I think illustration and that creative thinking that comes through the imaginative application of writing, of illustrating for a book, is just so important. So you'll also see across the family day, there's a big emphasis on illustrators as well as authors.
I have a suspicion that if I'm still doing this in many years' time, I'm going to be speaking to an author who will talk about their experience at something like Sydney Writers Festival Children's Day as being an inspiration. It is really such a fantastic day. I'm speaking with Claire Sawyer. You are listening to 2SER. This is Final Draft, and we're getting excited about Sydney Writers Festival. Claire is the head of children's and YA programming. It's happening across two big days, Saturday the 27th out at Parramatta and Sunday the 28th down at Walsh Bay. Get along, get excited about it. And if you want more information on festival programming, you can go to swf.org.au. Thank you so much for helping us get excited, Claire.
Thanks so much.
Sydney Writers Festival returns on 22nd of May. Hundreds of curious, compassionate and insightful writers from around the world will gather in Sydney for Australia's largest celebration of literature, stories and ideas. They'll be sharing their wisdom, wit and knowledge at venues across the city. Join them from the 22nd to 28th of May. Tickets on sale now at swf.org.au. Sydney Writers Festival, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
To celebrate the success of 2SER's first ever podcast series, Just Words, we've teamed up with Audiocraft to bring you a live listening event on Thursday, May 18. Our podcast series has gone beyond the hype and headlines of Australia's racial discrimination laws, and you can watch the 2SER team record our final episode of Just Words live as we put 18C on trial and determine if our race hate laws really did murder free speech one last time. Come on down on Thursday, May 18 and listen to a mixture of live and recorded stories as we explore the new frontier of the culture wars. Doors open at 7 p.m. in Redfern at 107 Projects. Be sure to book your ticket now as spaces are limited. To find out more, head to 2ser.com.
Good morning. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. You're listening to Final Draft and I am Andrew Popel. And I've got a bit of an exciting thing right now. I'm introducing a new producer to Final Draft, Jen Worgan. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Such good timing. Sydney Writers Festival is just around the corner. It's Book Lovers Christmas.
It is.
There are so many events. I know I can't get to all of them. I feel like I need a little bit of help curating my experience. And that's what you're going to help us with. What is your pick today? What's an event you're looking forward to at the festival?
At the moment, I'm really excited for a panel called New Australian Voices. It's on the 25th of May. Basically, it's four Australian writers who have just released their debut books. The panel's moderated by Jill Eddington. And the writers are Meredith Jaffe, Julie Coe, Isabel Lee and Sarah Schmidt.
This is something we are so excited. I love doing on Final Draft is just discovering new writers, sharing them with people.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, who have you read? Who's got you excited on this panel?
Oh, so I recently read Julie Coe's book of short stories called Portable Curiosities. The stories are really, they're really surreal and funny. They're really kind of energetic and lively as well.
I know you're a short story fan too. I don't read enough. That's my shame. What makes Julie's stories so engaging? Can you give us a sample?
She wrote this one story, which was almost like a parody of the food culture in Sydney. It was kind of a thriller version of Gelato Messina, where almost like everything goes wrong and they're kind of evil. And it was so funny. And it felt very Australian, but not in a stereotypical way, which I really liked.
Oh my, a thriller parody of Gelato. What could be more Australian? Maybe flipping homes on reality TV. I'm not sure.
Maybe.
But that definitely sounds like something. What was the name of that panel again?
So that's New Australian Voices.
And it's Thursday, May 25th, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is.
Free event?
It's a free event. It's at 10:30.
Wow. We are going to keep bringing you. Jen is going to be coming back and sharing more picks from the Writers' Festival. But we are almost at the end of the show. It's an exciting time. It's a sad time. I get to go and read when I sign off from you guys. But then I love talking about books as well. I want to say a huge thank you to Claire Sawyer. Claire is the program director for YA and Children's at the Sydney Writers Festival. I want to say thank you to Hugh Mackay. He came in and shared his new book, Selling the Dream. Now, he's also at Sydney Writers Festival. I better give you the website, swf.org.au, if you want details, if you want to buy tickets. Do not go anywhere. The Vulture's Nest is coming up next. They have a unique look at the week in news and culture. My name is Andrew Popel, and I get to sign off with Jen Worgan.
Oh, thanks.
And it has been Final Draft. I'll be back next week with more books, writing, and literary culture. See you then.